In a year of change, lots of new things going on, things we don't predict, we don't understand sometimes, it's really wonderful to ground ourselves in something that's old, real, and authentic. And our old homes, our old buildings in this area are important, and now the Historic Preservation Program at Clatsop Community College is not only offering classes, it is helping us maintain our character here. So today we're going to look at the Clatsop Community College Historic Preservation Program and how it is not only preserving the character of our community, which gives us that root, that groundedness, that sense of place, as well as how it changed one woman's life. Today the guests in the studio are John Gutenberger. He is a favorite local historian and professor at Clatsop Community College. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Glad you're here. I also have Lucian Sverdlov, who is a professor at Clatsop Community College and does so many other things, too. Lucian, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having us here.
And Katie Rathmill. Katie is the owner of Pacific Window Restoration. She has a really interesting background, which we'll hear about. And she is on the board of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society and was just chosen to be on the Historic Landmarks Commission here in Astoria. Hi, Katie.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Very happy to have you all three here. Before we start talking about historic preservation and why that's important, for so many reasons. Let's learn a little bit about each of you, please. John, please tell the listening audience a bit about yourself.
Let's see. I grew up in the area. I grew up in Astoria am trained in architecture, trained through University of Oregon. First job was doing like tools and methods of the 1800s up and down the Willamette Valley, working with a carpenter, working on barns and all kinds of wonderful historic buildings, 1850s, 1860s buildings. Worked for a number of years as the preservation part of J. Raskin Architects, and now am a professor up at the college in the preservation program.
And you also don't you do some guided tours as well, John?
Sure, I'll do guided tours occasionally, and I also do fifth grade architecture, so I go in and teach fifth graders about history and architectural design and sketching, and then we go out on a walking tour and hear all kinds of stories.
And you also write for various publications?
You bet. Coast River Business Journal, currently have a monthly column with them, Well Preserved.
Well preserved. All right. That's great. And Lucian Sverdlov, please tell the listening audience about yourself.
So I grew up on the East Coast in New York. I went to architecture school in Buffalo. I got a master's of architecture degree up there. And I think probably that's where I kind of really got a good appreciation for historic architecture. Buffalo is a great, almost Midwestern kind of Great Lakes city with an incredible inventory of historic architecture. I mean, old buildings by Lewis Sullivan, H.H. Richardson, five Frank Lloyd Wright buildings there. So, and I lived there for about 8 years and really came to appreciate old buildings and also the decay of old buildings because the economy wasn't good there. The old steel mills were closing down. Shipping was going away. So there's that whole kind of set of old buildings that are crumbling and then trying to save them. And then I took a couple of side trips and taught at architecture schools in the Midwest. And then I ended up here in Astoria, which is a great town with an inventory of old buildings. And I worked on the restoration of five or six old buildings, houses, over the years. So really also that developed my sense of appreciation for these incredible historic houses that we have in Astoria here.
And you also, I know, teach computer science programs, right?
Yeah, that's a whole other
part
aspect
of
my background.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Can you combine those two when you're looking
sure.
at
Sure, and we do that, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in another time in the past, I actually did CAD system development, computer programming.
Oh.
So,
wow.
I mean, we'll talk about it a little more later, but a big part of historic preservation is documentation. So that's where the drawing and computer-aided design comes into play, and that's kind of integrated into the whole process of preservation.
Excellent, excellent. All right, and Katie, please tell the listening audience about yourself.
Okay, well, I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and went to high school and college in Clearwater, Florida. We moved around a bit. I got my master's in marine science. So my background is a bit different. I came out to Astoria in 2007 when I took a job with Oregon Health and Science University as a research associate. And we had a small oceanography group here in Astoria, and we built an observation network in the river, in the Columbia River. And I was a field technician, basically working on sensors and data collection in the Columbia River and coastal ocean. And while I was at, our offices were at MERTS, Clatsop Community College, MERTS campus, and I ran into Lucian while there because he was doing his classes, and that's how I came to know about the Historic Preservation Program. And so I took some classes while I worked for OHSU. And while doing that, I decided that it was just my passion. And the reason being is because I've always been the type of person who likes to fix things rather than to buy new things. And so it fit very well in my life. So my varied history has nothing to do with architecture, but everything to do with wanting to learn new things and having a passion for restoration at this point. I didn't know what it was back then because I just thought I was a fixer.
And now you've changed your life to the point where you actually have your own business and you restore windows.
Correct, yes. I took probably a year and a half worth of classes. I'm not a graduate. I don't claim to be.
But we're still working on that.
Right? Yeah, but I'm continually learning. And I did start a business, and it's Pacific Window Restoration. And my first big job was on a historic home here in Astoria. And since then, I've worked in dozens of houses. I've restored the windows in the Hiram Brown House, which is the oldest house in Astoria. The Ferguson House, which is another grand house on Grand Avenue, actually. And I'm working on the Presbyterian Church at the moment, along with a couple of other houses. The Kindergarten Cop House, some of you may know that. It's been amazing. And it has changed my life. I left marine science. I still love biology and marine science. It's just another extension of who I am. And I incorporate everything that I've learned, you know, from college to I was also in the military and was a operating room technician. So I have a very strange background that has kind of led me to allow myself to jump from one career to another without really worrying too much. I followed my heart, and it was, you know, paid off.
And I would think that many of us in today's world use just our brains. We're not using our hands. There's a disconnect here. And I know that a lot of ancient wisdom talks about the fact that we need to be using our hands. We need to be working harmoniously with our bodies and our minds. And so I wonder if doing restoration work can be kind of zen in some way.
That's an excellent point. One of the things that I wanted to do as I turned 40 was to find some outlet that was artistic in some way. And I'm not an artist. I don't have drawing skills. But I really loved working with the old wood and working on these old homes. It became an extension for me after sitting at a computer and analyzing data and doing all of this work, as you said, with mainly brain work, being able to use my hands and incorporating the knowledge that I have, obviously, with, you know, my science background, into something that was more earthy, you know, more allowed me to really kind of utilize that part of me that was kind of stagnating.
So it's a creative thing.
Creative,
yes. And John and Lucian, how did the Historic Preservation Program at the college come to be? Because I know it was established in 2009. How did that happen?
I think it just happened from a need that this community had. There was a group of people, including architects and builders and designers and construction people in town, that had been talking about establishing some kind of training program for historic preservation, because there just weren't the craftspeople out there to handle the amount of work that needed to be done here. And I think it was just a series of events that came together. There was the recession that was happening, so there was a need for economic development. And I think John can address that a little more, but this historic preservation fits into the whole model of economic development. Also, the college, some of you that have been here that long, remember there was a bond, and the college was looking for a new campus, and there was a little bit of controversy whether we should have a new campus or restore the existing campus, which we did, and that's an ongoing project, and that's a preservation project there. So I think all of those things just coalesced, and we met with a group of people for about a year before the program actually started, and kind of worked out the program and developed it and put together this program, which is fairly unique. It's one of only a few in the country that has this kind of structure. You want to add something, John?
Right. We are the only community college on the West Coast teaching historic preservation. And it was really the economic crash of 2008 that was the final kick to get this going. Was, okay, we have all these craftspeople or potential craftspeople. Let's get them trained. When we come out of the recession, they'll be ready to go and move forward. And so that, with the college trying to figure out what it was doing, you know, we came and we said, look, you're going to stay on campus, you're going to restore Toller Hall, and you're going to start the historic preservation program. It's all going to work together. And they went for it. So all those kinds of factors.
Well, that's very wise, because not only, and one of the things, when I went onto the website and looked at the classes that are being offered, it says that classes are open to the public and people may take just one class. However, your classes are now, the historic preservation program has become so successful that you are full and you have a waiting list.
Yes. In some, not all the classes, the workshops particularly, we're a small program and we have limited resources. The workshops, since they're hands-on and we're out in the field doing stuff, we're limited in how many people can be in those classes. And in the past couple of years, those workshops have been full. And there have been people on the waiting lists to get into those. I mean, I think that, to turn back to what you were saying before about the different aspects of preservation, I think this is a good time to get into the kind of the structure of the program. There's different kinds of classes. We really pride ourselves on this hands-on workshops and the craftsmanship, where we go out into the field and we work on buildings. But there's a whole other aspect of preservation which has to be integrated in with that, and that is the history, the theory, the documentation of preservation. So, I mean, preservation is, in a way, it's an intellectual pursuit. It's, I mean, it's craft. Katie was talking about that. You want to go out there and you want to do stuff. But before you do stuff, you have to think about it. And you have to document it, and you have to understand what you're doing it and the way that you're doing it. So we really try to instill that thoughtfulness into our students and into the process of preservation, because it really is this process of understanding what's happening with an old building. And in a way, it's like archaeology. It's fun. You start peeling back these layers. You go into an old building and you see something and you start to wonder, is that original? Was that added? When was that added? Is that important? Should I save that? Should I replace that? So there's a whole set of issues that come with preservation, which really require an understanding of history of buildings, some of the courses that John teaches, architectural history, documentation. We do drawing courses, we do analysis courses, we do research courses, which really bring all of this other information to inform the process of preservation, or the craft of preservation.
I think a lot of times a person can, because we do have incredible old homes and buildings here in Astoria in particular, and someone from another place might buy a home and then just not know what to do. And so I think your caution to wait, I mean, learn, research, let the house speak to you, in fact, and then you have these resources, not only with the Clatsop Community College Historic Preservation Program, but also the Lower Columbia Preservation Society. There are resources that you can, so you can learn, you know, and there are skilled people now who are working on these things as a result of your classes.
Yeah, I mean, there's several organizations. I mean, the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, which is a great resource. It's a local nonprofit, and they just moved into a new office in the Hotel Elliott. And Katie is a board member now, so she can tell us more about that. And the college, too. And, I mean, as you mentioned, the classes at the college are opened to the public. Anybody can come and take a class. So if you're interested in learning how to restore a stained glass window or how to do plasterwork or how to do woodwork, you can sign up for one of the classes at the college and come and just take a weekend workshop or a two-weekend workshop. Or if you're interested in the history of architecture, you can sign up for a 10-week class and learn about the history of Northwest architecture.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today we're talking about Clatsop Community College's Historic Preservation Program, an award-winning program. And my guests are Professor John Gutenberger, who's also a local historian here and a writer. Also, Lucian Sverdlov. He's a professor at Clatsop Community College and was pivotal to creating the Historic Preservation Program. And then we also have Katie Rathmill. Katie has taken many classes on historic preservation through this program, and she opened her... When did you open your business, Pacific Window Restoration?
2014.
Okay, great. And as we talked about before, windows are really key, aren't they? Why are windows so important?
To the eye, to the soul of the building.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
Something like that.
Okay.
Well, I think windows are what we call a defining characteristic of a building. I mean, it's one of those features that it's there. It's so obvious. I mean, it really defines the quality of the building, what the building looks like. And they're important for preserving the character of historic buildings. And they're relatively easy to work on. Which is the beauty of these historic wood windows. They were made to be repairable. All the components come apart. All the components can be fixed. And maybe Katie should talk about that.
Yeah, Katie, I'd love you to mention about the fact that if somebody has purchased a home and a previous owner maybe has not done it correctly, why don't you address that a little bit?
Sure. So, yes, Lucian is right. They are relatively easy to fix. The windows were made. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the windows. First off, double hung windows are the standard here for the older windows. Both of the sash that go up and down, the top and the bottom, are made to move and open. Most of those are painted closed on these old buildings, and people don't even know that the top sash can come down. It's made to come down so that in the summer, the hot air circulates out of the top window and the cooler air circulates in through the bottom. It's the old style of air conditioning. So yes, the components can be taken apart and replaced. They can be repaired. Some of the older homes have had their old windows taken out and replaced with vinyl or aluminum or just fixed glass. And in those cases, we can reproduce the old windows.
That is great.
We are, I am. My company consists of myself and one employee. But we have started doing fabrication of traditional windows to match the historic fabric of the house. And I have been taking some instruction from a very experienced window fabricator down in Monitor, Oregon, and along with a couple of other people. And we've been learning how to fabricate traditional sash in a traditional way. We're not using, you know, CNC machines that will you know, you can program. We're doing them by hand, and they take a little bit longer, but they match and they're true.
That's so important to keep the authenticity and true. And we had a phone call from a listener, and her question is, how do you find contractors who appreciate old homes and connect them with owners? And my first thing would be go to the Lower Columbia Preservation Society.
Exactly right.
And you know, become a member of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, because they would be the
That's
people
correct.
To go to. Correct.
Yes, yes. The Lower Columbia Preservation Society, we do have resources. We have people that can tell you who to go to for various things that need to be repaired in your old home. We have books. We have people with an amazing amount of knowledge. And we will be having an open house this the art walk that's coming up.
Is that that's January 7th, right? Is it January 7th?
Second Saturday.
Oh, wait, which is, right, not January 7th. I'm wrong.
But we'll also be open Friday. So we'll be open the entire weekend. So
okay.
People can come in. They can look at the resources we have, meet some of the board members, and, you know, see what we're trying to do. We'd like to be able to, in the future, offer some presentations and workshops. And we really love for you to come in and join the society and find out what's going on with preservation in Astoria.
That's a great thing. If you want to support maintaining the character and authenticity of this rare and special place we live in, then you can take a class at Classic Community College, which supports the college, and you can become a member of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society. And they've just now opened this office right next to the Hotel Elliott downtown, which isn't staffed full-time, but on Second Saturday Art Walk and the Friday before that, it will be open, which is great. One of the other things when we were talking before we went live here was the fact that you said Astoria didn't happen naturally. John.
Right. We've been doing historic preservation in Astoria for many, many years. I mean, the first movement might be back in 1950 when the Flavelle Mansion was saved. Then in the 1960s, when the city started this demolition program and the locals revolted against that, that movement stayed. And then the late 1970s, the equivalent of the Historic Landmarks Commission was formed to start to protect our local landmarks. Then in the 1980s, I always refer to Edith Henningsgaard as our first historic preservation mayor. She started to do inventories and establish historic districts. So all of this has been going along with the founding of the Downtown Association for Commercial Buildings. We have been working for 30 and 40 years to create the vision that people see today and can appreciate. So it's been a lot of hard work.
Well, thank you for that. And again, also the Clatsop County Historical Society. I mean, all of these things, so important, because especially in America, where I think we somehow think that new is better and that building faster and changing. And now I think maybe that's changing, right, Lucian? You think people are beginning to appreciate the...
I think historic preservation is coming into its own in this country. There is this, and I believe anyway, that there's this American psyche that new is better, you know, and that's built into the psyche of this people in this country. And it's not always bad. I mean, it's okay. I mean, we've done a lot of great things with that. But I think sometimes we need to step back and appreciate what's already there. And especially if we're looking at issues of sustainability and quality of materials. And I think people are starting to realize that. They're starting to realize the quality and the beauty of these old buildings and how they can be preserved and how they should be preserved and how it's economically feasible in many cases. Right? So, I mean, it's in a lot of cases, economics is, you know, it's there and it drives the issue. And you can restore a historic building in an economically feasible way and in many cases end up with something which is of much higher quality than a new building would have been for the same price.
Yes, and we have now, because of the preservation program. We have talented people who can help you work on these buildings, and Vintage Hardware is a great resource for things. So, I mean, we're really fortunate here. We just have a few minutes left. Any last things that you would like the listening audience to know about historic preservation, about the program, anything we didn't cover? And we didn't really get into the Historic Landmarks Commission. You're just going onto that now. You're a brand new member.
Yes, I just was appointed, and I haven't actually been to my first meeting yet. So
Well, we'll have to have you come back on later and talk about Historic Landmarks Commission so that folks can know what that, you know, about that entity. And
yes.
And as John said, people are working tirelessly and have been for a long time, because it didn't just by accident we don't have these beautiful, magnificent buildings that have been restored. So any last thoughts, John?
I want to just kind of go along on that theme for quickly and say our program didn't just happen. It's happened through a lot of partnerships. And so we have partnerships with the Clatsop County Historical Society, Lower Columbia Preservation Society, the Maritime Museum, City of Astoria, and the National Parks, Fort Clatsop. All of them are working together to support our program in one way or another.
And you can find out more about it by going to the Clatsop Community College website. You can Google the Historic Preservation Program.
Sure, just go to clatsopcc.edu. And they can call me at the college if anybody wants more information about the program or wants to take any of the courses, or just come to some of the workshops. I mean, people can come and just see what we're doing. We do workshops all over out in the field. We work at the Ocean View Cemetery. We work across the river at the Napton Cove Quarantine Station, at Alderbrook Hall. So there's lots of projects that we're working on throughout the region where we're working on historic buildings. And if people want to come and just see what we're doing, they're always welcome to do that.
Are most of the students from the Pacific Northwest, or are you having students come from elsewhere?
We're starting to get more students from different parts of the country. So from Washington, from California, but also even from New York, we had one, and from the Midwest. So they're starting to come from different parts of the country, and I think part of that goes back to what we said before, the fact that there's not a lot of programs like this. There's only a handful, maybe a dozen in the whole country. And most of them tend to be on the East Coast.
Well, you all have made such a success of this program. It's fantastic. We're so lucky to have it. And Katie, any last thoughts from you?
I just would like to say that sustainability through restoration is key. And I think that people care about keeping things green. The green movement is all about saving resources, and that's what we're trying to do, is to preserve the craftsmanship that went into these old buildings and the materials, and it's really important, and that's what my mission is.
And I think, Lucian, you said something really important too earlier, which is to really think before you act, before you do something to an old building that you may have purchased.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have the tendency, we want to do something. You know, you want to just start ripping stuff apart and fixing it. But I think in the case of an old building, because it is an evolving entity, you really need to step back a little bit, think about it, understand what's going on. Then you can jump in and start doing stuff. Which is the fun part in a way, but you really need that background information. You need to know what's going on, what's happened, what the materials are, what's worth saving, like Katie said.
Right.
Some of these old materials are not available anymore. This old growth wood, it's incredible quality materials, so you want to treat it with respect.
Oh, that's well said.
Absolutely.
And John, didn't you say that we have more historic houses per capita? What is that figure? Yes,
we have the largest per capita of houses built prior to 1950, the largest per capita in the state. So that means we have lots of historic buildings or potential historic buildings here.
Oh, well, thank you all so much for your important work, maintaining the integrity, the authenticity, the sense of place, which we all so appreciate. In changing times, these old buildings help root us in what is real. Thank you both, all three of you, so much. And I encourage everyone to join the Lower Columbia Preservation Society. Check out the Historic Preservation Program. Thank you so much, Kate Brister, for being our engineer today. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor, excuse me, Michael Bruin, for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's good for your body, your mind, your spirit. And focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that aren't going well. Focus on the things that are going well. Turn off the news if you need to do that. You will find out the important things from all your friends. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.